Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Marianne Daddy Burke, the Executive Director of Dignity USA, the leading organization for LGBT Catholics, and look into the Pope's surprising remarks to reporters that if a person is gay and looks for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge them? And we'll also speak with gay political activist Mike Rogers, the managing director of Raw Story, about Vladimir Putin's moves in the opposite direction as his anti-gay crackdown takes on darker and sinister tones. We'll discuss growing calls for a boycott on Russian products and the Sochi Winter Olympics. Then we will speak with economist James Galbraith about the coming showdown over raising the debt limit, which the president has vowed is non-negotiable. We will discuss the House Republicans' intention to tie a debt ceiling increase to spending cuts in the name of deficit reduction and the White House's new focus on job creation to reverse income inequality and restore economic opportunity for working Americans. Then finally, with more clashes in Egypt between supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood and the army, we will speak with Carrie Wickham, a professor of political science at Emory University and author of The Muslim Brotherhood, Evolution of an Islamist Movement. She has a recent article at the New York Times examining the inner workings of Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood, Egypt's Lost Opportunity. And joining us now is Marianne Daddy Burke, the Executive Director of Dignity USA, the leading organization of LGBT Catholics, their families, friends, and allies. Her recent article at the Huffington Post is Catholic Church Unfriendly to LGBT People, No Living a Split Reality, examines the perceptions and reality of the relationship between the LGBT community and the Catholic Church. And also joining us is Mike Rogers, a gay political activist, blogger, and the vice chairman and managing director of Raw Story, Inc. He is a leading subject of the 2009 film Outrage on the subject of outing closeted politicians. And in 2008, he founded the National Blogger and Citizens Journalist Initiative, now known as the Netroots Connect program of Netroots Nation, where he serves as director. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mike Rogers and Marianne Daddy Burke.
Thanks for having us.
And Marianne, let me begin with you, since the Pope is making news here and aboard the aeroplane where he was on his way back from Brazil to Rome. Apparently, he caught the press by surprise and was extremely freewheeling. He even thanked the reporter who asked him the question that precipitated this comment. He thanked the reporter who asked him about reports of a gay lobby inside the Vatican. And this led to this extraordinary comment on the part of the Pope. But the real question is, does this apply to just Catholic priests? Was that the context? Or does this apply to all gays?
Well, Ian, from what I've heard from folks who were on the plane reporting about their experience, it sounds as if the question was directed to the Pope about priests initially, but then he broadened his comments to include LGBT people who are lay as well as in the priesthood of the Catholic Church.
So, what leads you to feel that? Because there was a comment, I guess, that indicated a broader understanding and appreciation of all people. What exactly led you to that conclusion that he said?
Well, what he said was that, you know, if gay people are, or if a gay person is, you know, seeking Jesus and a person of goodwill, who am I to judge them? And again, I've heard from a number of people who were on the plane who felt as if he was talking quite expansively about that. And it certainly has been received out in the world in that way. People, gay and lesbian Catholics, and our families have definitely seen themselves as being included in that remark from the head of the church.
Right. Well, I think the quote that I've seen that indicates a broader understanding that may include all of humanity, not just the clergy and priests in the Catholic Church. the Pope said, the tendency to homosexuality is not the problem. They are our brothers. So is that a remark that gives you some sense that there's a sea change underway?
That, and also, you know, he did go on to talk about the fact that gay people should not be marginalized in society, which, you know, is obviously a very broad context. Is it a sea change? It doesn't seem to be so on the policy side of things or the official church teaching side of things. But what I think people have been remarking upon, and that certainly struck me, was the vast difference in tone from Pope Francis than what we've heard under the other two popes. You know, for the Pope to speak about LGBT people as people of faith, as people of goodwill, you know, as folks who should not be marginalized by society, to put the emphasis there rather than on the kinds of horrific things we've heard from his predecessors, you know, that called us a threat to civilization or people who do violence to children, you know, it has a very different impact out in the world.
Let me bring in Mike Rogers, a gay political activist, blogger, and vice chairman and managing director of Raw Story, Inc. Mike, what's your take on what the Pope said?
Well, I certainly agree in as much as there is, you know, this does affect the kind of things in social change, the way that people are perceiving it and the way that it's being taken. I think if you do read contextually everything he said, I don't know if it's as great as all the headlines say, but the fact that people are taking it as he's being much more opening and accepting is, of course, a good thing. I, of course, can't speak. I'm not a Catholic, so I can't speak to that experience, but I do know that many of my fellow LGBT activists who are Catholic are happy and see this as somewhat of a level of progress.
Well, the Pope himself, of course, is not without problems. And his own, the person that he appointed as one of his advisors to look into the Vatican Bank, has been accused in the Italian press of having a gay tryst and it being a part of the so-called gay lobby or the gay mafia, as it's been called. And also the Pope's accountant, apparently, this is not somewhat different subject, he's been suspended, he's been arrested for involvement in a plot to bring in 20 million euros from Switzerland. So how much is this, you think, a blip in terms of the broader issues that are going on surrounding this church that has been beset by so much scandal involving pedophilia?
I think this is a significant departure from the way these kinds of things were handled in the past. I mean, you know, the fact that the Pope chose to speak openly about homosexuality and hasn't dodged questions about the other kinds of scandals, that he has made it clear that he needs help in governing the church and has set up a worldwide council of eight cardinals from around the nations around the world, you know, it says that things are happening a little bit differently at the Vatican than what we're used to, you know, where everything was clothed in secrecy and there was just no willingness to address problems with any kind of light upon them. You know, obviously we're still in the early days of that, but, you know, I am paying attention to the fact that this shift is there and would like to be able to see it continue.
Well, of course, the Pope did reiterate that his predecessor had, at least Pope John Paul II, had definitively closed the door on female ordination. And many people argue that if priests were able to marry and women, nuns were able to be ordained, a lot of the Catholic Church's problems would go away. But he apparently has reiterated that the door is closed in that regard, although he talked about a theology of women and a greater role for women inside Catholic life. Let me turn to Mike Rogers then and discuss the opposite side of the story. If there's any hope to be gained from the Pope's remark, there's absolute darkness coming from Russia and from Vladimir Putin. Fill us in, if you will, Mike, on what you understand about this Russian parliament in June passing a bill banning propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations, which has led to a kind of open season on gays, on gay tourists. Dutch activists filming a documentary were arrested in Murmansk, and six LGBT activists were arrested in Moscow. This could turn really ugly, and the Canadian government, in fact, have issued a travel alert for gay visitors to Russia.
And recently the American government as well joined in that, and it's quite scary. It's, you know, this is Putin's Russia. It passed unanimously. Imagine that. In addition to creating this environment that has just made it an unbelievable attack on gay youth being lured into situations and then being physically abused, I mean, it's just gone on to the point where it's really as bad as some things that have happened throughout history, and you would think in modern times people would know better, but Putin needs to make somebody a scapegoat for his country's problems, and he's now blaming the gays for creating an environment where the Russian population is declining. He's blaming that on the gay community, and therefore he can now blame the economy and saying, well, there's not enough of us to work, so therefore the gay people are destroying the country. And in addition to jail time and all of the other things, even people who are found to be gay, but even the biological parents, their child can be taken away from them if they're found out to be gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender. So it's a really scary situation, and people don't really know what we can do about it.
Well, Harvey Fierstein had a piece in the New York Times recently that was very powerful. Piece of writing, and he basically compared the 2013 Russia, the Sochi Olympics coming up, the Winter Olympics, with the German Olympics in 1936, making the point that back in 1936, very few of the people that showed up from around the world for the 36 Olympics said a word about Hitler's campaign against the Jews. And he is, in fact, calling for a boycott of the Sochi Winter Olympics. What's your response?
Boycotts are very complicated things, and one of the things that I hope for is that there can be an Olympics free from politics. That will never happen, of course, in reality. But when I think of the opportunities and the change that has been made of folks in, you know, and it wasn't just in Germany where a difference was made socially via society at the Olympics. People have held up fists throughout history and you know, a whole lot of things that have gone on, but the people who don't show up can't create change. The IOC, the real pressure point here needs to be on the IOC to ask them, why are you putting these Olympics in places that are so unbelievably oppressive? Why is that allowed?
And the
boycott question is confusing, and it's one that I think there's definitely valid points on both sides. I think right now I would support attending the Olympics and moving this through media as far and wide as it can go.
And let me ask Marion Duddy Burke, what's your response to what's happening in Russia compared to the glimmer of hope coming from the Vatican compared to the darkness descending Russia?
Well, you know, it is interesting, and I think there is a connection. I actually was recently in Europe just 2 months ago for a meeting of LGBT Christian groups there and met with Russian activists who talked about their fears of this law passing and as well as the experiences that we're having. I mean, every single Russian person that I'd met with had been beaten at some point because of the suspicions that they were being gay. They'd suffered horrendous trauma and horrible things happening to them. Their places had been burned, you know, just all sorts of horrible things. The conditions are terrible. And the failure of religious leaders to speak out against this kind of violence, to be accountable for the hateful rhetoric or harsh damaging rhetoric that so many of them are responsible for, you know, including leaders of my own church. You know, they need to be confronted with these stories and to acknowledge the role that they've played in it. And then they need to be the ones who are working against things like, you know, Putin's law and what's going on in Uganda and in other countries where folks are trying to make being gay, you know, a capital crime. You know, the religious institutions have enormous power in many, many countries, and their failure to act is really a sin.
And Mark Rogers, what do you think of the calls to boycott Stolichnaya, popular vodka, in spite of the fact that the CEO of Stolichnaya, Val Mendeleev, posted an open letter to the LGBT community in saying that the recent dreadful actions taken by the Russian government limiting the rights of the LGBT community, they completely abhor. So I don't know whether he's a businessman trying to save his business, but it sounds like there are a lot of people in Russia that aren't reactionaries and in the way that Putin is fanning the flames to the lowest common denominator.
There was a lawsuit in international court over who actually controls the Stolichnaya name. And that's shifting this year, so it's been very convenient for everybody to be able to say, we are this, we're not this. But I think what's most important in this is that all too often American activists can stand up and say, this is what we're going to do. Well, how about everybody slowing down and asking our Russian brothers and sisters what they need us to do, as opposed to us coming into a country and saying, this is what we are going to do for you. So I hope, and I've seen that new level of cooperation, but with organizations like we talked about the churches, and there are good religious institutions working on these things, there is All Out, which is the new international organization, and the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission. So for us to work with folks like that and your visit to Russia, to provide for them what they need is, I think, the best way that we can move forward, as opposed for us to decide what to boycott and what not to. The Russian activists have made it clear that boycotting Stoli will do nothing. So we can have a boycott, but the people who we're trying to help have told us, pretty much put out there, that it's a waste of an effort. And I would rather see some real change than practically a whole bunch of people boycotting something they probably don't drink in the first place. And these companies are pretty smart.
Well, I thank both of you for joining us here today. Mike Rogers, a gay political activist, blogger, and vice chairman and managing director of Raw Story, Inc., and Marion Duddy Burke, the executive director of Dignity USA, the leading organization of LGBT Catholics, their families, friends, and allies. I thank you both for helping us see both some hope and some darkness here that needs to be addressed. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with economist James Galbraith.
Ooh, love breaks the machine.